Across Wexford, old homes, farmhouses and vacant buildings are being brought back to life with the help of determined owners, local knowledge and supports like the Vacant Property Refurbishment Grant. This is Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes, produced by Wexford County Council in conjunction with South East Radio, where we hear the real stories behind these restorations alongside expert advice and practical guidance on the supports available. Behind many of these restorations are grants, supports and guidance designed to help people take that first step. Restoring an old building is never just about bricks and mortar. Sometimes it's about preserving something much deeper. For Jerry and Amanda O'Sullivan in Feathert-on-Sea, their project became a labour of love, rooted in history, tradition and at times real personal challenges. They chose to take the slower path, using traditional methods to honour the building's past. But life doesn't always follow a plan, and along the way their journey took an unexpected and emotional turn. This is a story about resilience and why some homes are worth the extra effort. I began my visit to Jerry and Amanda by getting a very detailed tour of their work so far.
This was outside. They put a hole there to make the door. And this was the cow house. But it's going to be a bedroom office study. This was blocked over, but we reinstated it. So you can see what's coming down the road.
People.
And of course, the complication with these houses is there are no foundations on the walls, and there's no downproof. So all the water comes up through the walls.
Like a sponge.
It means the water can't get out of the wall.
Yeah. So yeah, we had to take concrete off inside and out.
Yeah.
It's a big job.
Come on, are we able to go?
Yeah, be careful with the banisters.
Yeah, come in with me. The original stairs actually came up here. And you access the bedroom here by going up another couple of stairs. And then you access that bedroom by going through here, which went...
No one will ever follow the original.
I know, it's crazy.
After the wonderful tour came to an end, I sat down with Jerry and Amanda to chat about how all of this began.
Was it the history, the character? Tell me how it all first came about.
Well, we love the area.
Yeah, I don't know. We've worked in Wexford for many, many years, and we've been out here for God knows how long. And we knew this place was up for sale for over 2 years.
Yeah.
More than 2 years.
Yeah, it wasn't the right time.
And it was sitting there, and it was very highly priced, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Very highly priced.
Then we were thinking of going to France.
Yeah.
Because I have a bad back, and we thought France might be better for me.
Yeah.
But one of my best friends has a holiday home on the Hook, right out in the Hook. I was down for a weekend with her, and Jerry wasn't with me. I was driving into Feather, and I went, no, this is my happy place. And it was for sale again. Mm-hmm. So I went home, and I said to Jerry, that house is for sale again. Because it had gone sale agreed. And he said, right, let's make an appointment to go and see it. So we went down that week to see it.
Mm-hmm. Amanda saw the house, I saw the work.
Yeah.
And I wasn't wrong.
I saw it finished. Every time I came in, I saw it finished.
I would not wish anybody to have to go through. I would never go through this twice. And the only thing that pushed me over the line was the fact that I knew I'd get 70 grand from the Irish government towards bringing this thing back into a living house. And other than that, it was a bulldozer job.
Would you say you wouldn't have done it?
Oh, no, under no circumstances. This was not financially viable. Even with the 70 grand, it's not financially viable.
It's a tip of the iceberg.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The 70 grand is a massive help, don't mistake me. But it's a lot cheaper to build your own house, brand new.
However, I love history. I love this area. I've gone on the census and checked who lived here.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I've gone back to 1901.
And what did you find?
I found a gentleman called Nicholas Kenny, who was from Camp Isle, and he was married. He died in 1901. But previous to that, he had buried three children and a wife. And he remarried, and this lady was called Margaret. And then she passed away in 1906, I think, and left it to her sister, who was the great-great-aunt of John Kelly, who lives in that house, who grew up here. So this is where the start of the five generations comes from.
When we've been working on it, I had a crowd of Canadians.
Canadians
stopped by. And it was funny because we'd uncovered a Canadian silver dollar.
Yeah,
and we didn't know where this Canadian dollar, and they rocked in. And it turns out that
Her grandmother was born here
in the house. And they were over visiting Ireland, and they stopped by to see the homestead, and here it was.
Here we were knocking it about. So many people, when we first bought it, said, oh, I remember when this was the shop, I remember Willie and Breed and whatever. And they say, oh, it was a fabulous place here. So we're using the original Belfast sink that was in the scullery bit. Yeah. So
we have that.
As I said, I like keeping
things. I was just going to say, how important is it for you? You've mentioned it a couple of times, to keep as much of the original parts of the house as
absolutely
possible.
Absolutely, 100%, yeah.
And what we love about them is the old pins instead of nails.
It's still, if you look at this, the whole roof, and this is the roof. They're using these round pegs. There's no nails or screws.
Oh,
it's pegs and dowels to hold roofs together. And this is the newer part of the house. That part of the house is the older part.
Downstairs, where we were in it originally, that's the original house, 1750s. Then they built that side of the house. And then they built this side of the house. So this is about maybe mid 1800s, late 1800s. That's before that and in between that and this.
What is?
And then this will be our balcony.
Okay. Yeah, I have the scaffolding left there to stop people falling off.
Into a wardrobe. And then a wardrobe. And I'm trying to keep the doors if we can.
Yeah.
The original doors. So what we've done is try and keep as much original features as we can.
I have the switches on the wall are the same ones that were put in the house.
Oh,
now,
Some of them,
are, you know, have to replace with new ones, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're exactly the same style. Mm-hmm. Down to where's the handles, where's the doors, where's the skirtings, where the old architraves are. Anything we could possibly save that we didn't have to put in new. Because it saves money, but it also keeps
the authenticity of the building.
We've been very careful to make sure that there was no planning. We didn't require any planning permission.
Yeah.
As I say, the only bit we put on is that little glass porch you see.
And you didn't need planning for that?
No, that's under the 24 square meters. It's part of the attached. In fact, I think the regulations have increased it again.
In fact, we pulled down more than, because we had the
two bars. We pulled down more than we put up.
Yeah.
100%. We pulled down more than we put up.
Okay. Yeah.
So we were very careful in that regard.
And in terms of challenges then, so how did you navigate the delays and then keep the vision, your vision, I suppose, alive at the same time?
My biggest difficulty was making a start.
Trying
to figure out
where to begin.
And then, I suppose, biggest was the builders.
Mm-hmm.
Accessibility. Builders, plumbers that show up and then don't come back. So that delayed things.
Mm-hmm.
Forever. Because I needed the outside glass room before I could put the roof on that. And I couldn't put the roof on that. And I only had enough scaffolding to do section at a time. So that delayed us for about a month during the best of the weather. Down to, you see the switches on the wall?
Mm-hmm.
I have the switches on the wall are the same ones that were put in the house.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Some of them have, you know, have to replace with new ones, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're exactly the same style.
Mm-hmm.
Down to where's the handles, where's the doors, where's the skirtings, where the old architraves are. Anything we could possibly save that we didn't have to put in new. Because it saves money, but it also keeps
the authenticity of the building.
And then talking about grants then. So you mentioned you went to an open day. So would you have known anything about the grants beforehand? Or was this
We read up about it. It just kind of... It meant that we could talk to someone at that open day.
So the grants became available. It was announced about 3 months before we bought this house. They weren't public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were able to qualify for the grant, and I knew about the grants going into it all, I was very aware of them. And I went to the open day to make sure I had all my information right. Not only could we do the work ourselves, which I had to, in order to do as much as you see, it gave us the time scale, it's been flexible. And Wexford County Council, your man Tom has been super supportive. I've only met him the once, in fairness, and he's very fast on the email. You send in an email, bang, wallop, you get an email back very, very quickly. It's no big delay, and I'm good on email. You know, they've been 100% supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are 100% in keeping with the intent of the grant. This is our permanent home. We're taking a property that would have been knocked down if somebody didn't come
along. Unless it fell down.
So we brought a new... We've added an extra house to the housing population in Ireland. In fairness, we're doing an enormous amount of renovation by comparison to... And not that others haven't done this level of renovation.
Yeah.
They have. Of course they have. But I'm just very grateful to get the grant. Because without it... I wouldn't even consider it.
It would probably take 50 times as long.
If you met somebody on the street and they said, we're in the very same situation as you, what advice would you give us? What advice would you give to somebody who was starting back, say, where you were starting a couple of years ago?
So for me, I would hold off applying for the grants until you had all your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Your builder was banging on your door ready to start, because the time limit is so tight for a level of renovation that we're doing.
So
it's nearly impossible. The problem we had was we needed a grant approval. Yeah. So Tom viewed the house in
September.
We got the thumbs up in September, but we didn't start until
February
when we started. And that gap of nothing happening was just time
ticking away on
the grants
timeline.
Mm-hmm. So for me, don't apply for the grant until you're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time will just fly by. Will absolutely zoom by. Especially if you're going to try and do some yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're just chasing plumbers and electricians and they're not answering your phone and all that. And then you get frustrated and they're getting frustrated because they're trying to do another job and you're ringing and they're on a ladder and you're going, oh, I don't want to have to ring him for the fifth time and he hasn't answered me.
Sometimes
you
have to.
What do you do?
My advice would be just keep that end result in your head. And obviously we're human. Everyone, you're going to get down and tired. But luckily, when you're down, I'm up. When I'm down, he's up. So there's a good bit of advice. You know, be prepared for the unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Because in old houses, nothing will go smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving Jerry and Amanda's, I couldn't shake the feeling that I'd just stepped through a piece of local history. The building itself is more than 200 years old, and that sense of heritage made my next conversation feel all the more fitting. Yvonne Doyle Curtis is a conservation officer with Wexford County Council, and I began by asking her about her role and how preserving our history plays such an important part in shaping the future of the county. So Yvonne, for people new to this, what does a conservation officer actually do when it comes to restoring older buildings in Wexford?
We have formally had the position of an architectural conservation officer, which is great now for the county, and I'm delighted to be in that role. So there's a lot it involves. I'd be here till tomorrow explaining the length and breadth of it, but I suppose for the wider public, it is really for advice and for clarifications around protected and historic structures. Try to help and explain what would be appropriate in terms of works and, you know, the kind of responsibilities that are there for these structures as well. Like, there is a real duty of care for owners of these buildings and the awareness of what that entails, and then how we can support that as well, I suppose, is the main thing, because it's not an easy feat taking on these buildings.
So why is conservation so important then nowadays, and what are some of the key things people need to know before they decide to look into a project that involves conservation?
Okay, so I suppose the importance of it is because the rarity of these structures now, there is less and less, and let alone the structures, but actually the fabric and the special interest in those structures is diminishing as well because of works that have been carried out over the years, and without the knowledge of knowing necessarily what was the right thing to do, trying to modernise and inadvertently then causing damage to these structures. So it is really, really important that we have an awareness of what's important, what needs to be preserved and conserved, and how to go about that. And it really has to be a very careful and considered approach. It's almost the analogy of over-restoration can nearly cause more damage sometimes than neglect. And that sounds a bit wild because you think, well, gosh, like we obviously don't want to neglect these buildings, but doing too much sometimes can be nearly more damaging because it means that we lose really important features and fabric, which is what is the essence of what made those structures really, really important to begin with. They, you know, the way they were built, the skills that were used, these were craftspeople that built these houses. They built everything by hand. Their skills and their materials that we just can't replicate today. So it's really, really important that we try to conserve them. And they really set the blueprint in a lot of our towns and villages. You know, they're the original urban form and they've continued to this day, and they've continued because the structures were designed well and they've stood the test of time, and their architectural value as well has stood the test of time and is valued and appreciated. We have to be aware of our duty of care for these buildings now and to try and continue to retain them for our future generations to be able to appreciate them as much as we can.
So why is it so important then to balance modern living needs with protecting the original character of heritage properties?
Yeah, so I suppose like we want these buildings to still function. We want people to still want to utilise them. They need to be lived in spaces. They are going to continue to deteriorate if they're not living, breathing spaces, because in essence themselves, they're living, breathing structures, and how they were built. In order to do that for today's modern living, there are often compromises that need to be made. You know, we live very differently nowadays to how our ancestors lived. We have very different requirements. You know, we also have, you know, are more fond of our modern comforts. And so there certainly needs to be some compromise. But compromise without impacting on what that special interest and that character is, without really damaging the essence of the building. That's what we're after.
So what defines a protected structure, and what does it entail?
So when we talk about protected structures, it could be a building or it could be a structure. And it relates not only to the exterior of the structure, but to everything within the interior of the structure and everything that forms part of that curtilage, which can extend to your entrance gates, your immediate gardens, and even in the case of a rural estate, it could even extend to the landholding attached to that. In essence, everything within your portfolio, so to speak, of falls under that protection. And so any works then, even if it be it to, you know, the shed in the backyard, mm-hmm. technically requires some clarification as to whether planning permission would be required to do any works. So it's really important to know that, because not a lot of people are aware of that. It's an assumption that it only relates to the exterior of properties, and that's not the case at all.
So what are the most common rules and regulations then that homeowners might not be aware of before starting a restoration project?
Yeah, well, I suppose really in reference to if there's any protections attached to their building, the main one and the one where there is a legislative requirements are the protected structures. So any structures that reside on Wexford's County Record of Protected Structures. There is also a list called the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage, which is a national list of structures that are considered to be of special interest. And it's a very good resource, actually, for getting information about structures. And if anybody wants to find out whether their structure is listed on either the Record of Protected Structures or the National Inventory of Architectural Heritage, they can contact Wexford County Council. It's also available on our website, and they can contact the staff at Wexford County Council anytime and inquire what that actually means for their property as well, because there is attached to those structures that are listed on the Record of Protected Structures, there is some responsibilities attached to the owners and occupiers of those buildings. But then there are also supports available to assist with those responsibilities. I would really recommend that owners and occupiers make contact with their local planning authority as early as possible, just to get some clarification on whether or not planning permission would be required. Generally, when we're talking about protected structures, most works will trigger the need for planning permission. we don't have the normal exempted development rights. They do not apply to protected structures. So whilst in some cases, if it's very, very minor works, we may be able to issue a certificate of exemption, but generally any works to a protected structure will require planning permission. It's important to know that as early as possible, because that will obviously have associated the timelines involved and delays to the project. Contact Wexford County Council as early as possible to find out. We are aware of the challenges that may present themselves living in a protected structure, and that's where, from an advisory point of view, any clarifications on what the status of the building is in terms of protection, and even outside of structures that are protected or listed on the National Inventory, we actually have a very extensive vernacular heritage and other heritage structures that are listed on the records of monuments and places.
How do conservation requirements work then alongside grants? Do they support each other, or can they sometimes feel challenging for applicants?
I think the challenge is really in the not knowing. If we can get over that hurdle, like I suppose if I could get anybody to take away anything from today, is to just come and ask us, try and inform yourself. It's better to know, and to know early on, what you're dealing with. So the earlier you know whether or not your structure is protected, or what kind of historical value is attached to it, the easier it is to know what you're dealing with. And getting advice, professional advice from a conservation professional as early as possible when you're dealing with historic structures is worth its weight in gold. It can save a lot of time and money for individuals. What might be the standard or modern approach to structures is not always appropriate and is not always necessary when it comes to our historic structures. Contact the Heritage Section of Wexford County Council, and we can really steer you from there as well.
From your experience, what difference are conservation-led restorations making to towns and villages across Wexford? What are you seeing?
Yeah, well, it's making a huge difference, because it is like a real chain effect. It's, you know, I suppose you see one person start to do something and it just brings life back into the place. Like, it's bringing life back into the buildings, it's activating our places more, and it's, you know, when one person sees this happen and sees the potential, hopefully another person will see. And this has really been spearheaded by all of these wonderful funds that have come into play in recent years, which is just wonderful to see, because it is really revitalising our towns and villages. It is bringing people back, living over shops and living in buildings, and, you know, converting even retail spaces into residential accommodation. And it's really, really important, because you can see like, and even just like painting the outside and all those little upgrades are just make such an impact from an aesthetic point of view for everyone.
And finally then, Yvonne, what piece of advice would you give someone building an older structure?
Take your time. Don't rush into anything. These structures need very, very careful consideration. They need us to really step back and observe and read and try to put ourselves back where our ancestors were, you know, how they were designed, how they were used, because that's what they did. I think there was a lot more went into the design process and all of the considerations around light and use way back when, then maybe we're inclined to rush into things a lot today. And then it's the gentle peeling back and seeing, you know, what really, really needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And we try to do as little as necessary, because that is the conservation-led approach. So minimum intervention and maximum retention. So we want to retain as much original and early building fabric as possible, and then only repair where and replace where necessary, where absolutely necessary. And that's not to prevent, as we spoke about earlier, you know, compromises to facilitate modern living. Like, that can certainly still be accommodated. But when you're looking at your kind of general structure and the fabric of that structure, it has to be a very, very careful and considered approach. And we really, really need to make sure we're using the right materials and the right techniques, because that saves issues down the line.
Jerry and Amanda's journey reminds us that restoring a building isn't always about speed. Sometimes it's about protecting the character and history that makes a place special. Next time, we move to the heart of Gorey, where Anne Smith saw potential that many others didn't. She's starting from scratch from a planning perspective. That's next time on Back to Life, County Wexford Stories of Derelict Homes. For more information on the grants and supports available, check out www.wexfordcoco.ie.